Tuesday mornings means we check in with the city of Bloomington's city council, and our good friend is Tim Mayer. He is now the new brand new parliamentarian. Well, that was my guess last week. How did I possibly get that right?
It just happened.
That's right. Your active campaigning, the yard signs, the signs in the right of way.
He beat the over-under.
Yeah, that's right. It was a long, drawn-out process, but you, again, have secured the gavel. Is it BYOG, Tim? Is it bring your own gavel? How does that work?
No, the parliamentarian does not have the gavel. The council president has the gavel.
Oh, you don't wrap it around when things get out of order there?
No.
What do you have? What do you
have to object first?
What do you have, a taser? What do you got then?
The person who chairs the meeting has the gavel.
Ah.
So that would either be the president, or when we're in committee meeting, the council member who is chairing the meeting has the gavel.
And that's why
parliamentarian does not have the gavel. They have the power of the word.
Ooh.
Oh,
so
yeah.
you don't need any outside influence on that. Well, that's why
we're out of order.
Well, that's not surprising either. That's why we're bringing you in, so you can tell us the procedurals on how this works, because this isn't your first rodeo as parliamentarian. How many stars do you have on your letter jacket now?
Oh, gee, I don't know. I've been doing this for a while, so I don't keep count of those sorts of things. Maybe someday I will, but
you
not
should.
Now.
Don't we have to be careful not to get ahead of ourselves? Because doesn't the junior electoral college have to meet in order for your election to be official?
It doesn't work that way.
Did you win the plurality, but not the electoral college?
No, it was all decided within our group of 9 members.
Oh, okay.
So we're all set and ready to go. And for those people that are just joining us here, maybe in the brand new year, go ahead and give us your lineup for president, vice president, all that fun stuff.
Yeah, last Wednesday we met and appointed Susan Sandberg as our council president for the year of 2017. Dorothy Granger is vice president, and myself as parliamentarian. So that and all 9 members agreed with that.
The big three. Wow.
Yeah.
That's right. And the trading cards will be available later in the week. So you
That's
can,
true.
You can
but he actually, you know, not to make fun of anything,
that's
you,
my
you,
job.
You have a lot of power, because as parliamentarian, you can rule whether something is in order or whether it can even be hit the floor.
And briefly, Tim, and Keith is to a degree being serious here, but for people who don't understand the process, what is considered out of order, and what is the job behind that?
Well, I mean, basically what the parliamentarian does in the context of city council is introduce legislation for discussion and rules on questions that come before the council regarding process. So, for example, if one of the examples we would give is if we had a petition before us that had a large number of remonstrators or people who wanted to discuss any issue, the parliamentarian could issue and start the discussion as to how long we wanted each person to be able to speak. And that parliamentarian would put that on the table, get a second, and then there would be discussion, and we would amend our agenda or our rules to allow for people to speak for 3 minutes or 5 minutes or 1 minute, depending on what the council decided to do.
Categorizing you as a referee would be accurate or inaccurate?
I think that's probably pretty accurate.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that gives people an idea of, because there's no point in having rules if they're not being followed, right?
That's true. And we do operate under Robert's Rules of Order, so we always look to that for guidance when we make our decisions.
And you're under your new start time now tomorrow night.
That is correct. We are now officially starting at 6:30, which we did last week, and we will continue that until some point in time in the very distant future, I guess.
In a galaxy far, far away.
So what's on the schedule for tomorrow?
The new start time is 6:30, and on the agenda tomorrow is what we discussed in committee last week, and that is a resolution between the city and the county on operation of the dispatch center. And then we will have a resolution for the authorizing the contract between the city and the city of Bloomington firefighters, which they all approved. And then we have to do the salary ordinance for said firefighters' contracts. So there's 3 pieces of legislation that we'll discuss tomorrow night.
Tim, let me take you to the interlocal agreement. It seems that that has been discussed and cussed for ages. What is happening now that is different?
Well, what is different, and we do an interlocal agreement every year, so that comes forward, and that agreement is who pays for what and how they pay for it.
Okay.
But what occurred during our budget in July and August and October of this year for 2017, we being the city took over responsibility for the employees of the dispatch centers. So previous to that, there were city employees in the dispatch center and there were county employees in the dispatch center. So what the city and the county agreed to was to make all the employees city employees, which helped clear up some of the problems that they had in terms of how the pay was being paid and how much was being paid and all of those sorts of questions. So now the dispatch center is operated by city employees only, as opposed to the split between city and county. But we still have that agreement between the county and the city regarding, you know, again, what the payments necessary for services provided. So, and those monies needed to support that activity. So that's you know, when you say it's talked about forever, it is talked about forever because there's an annual agreement.
Things change annually where you have to make sure that it's all...
That's true. You know, there may be a need for software upgrade or something like that, and those things do not come inexpensively, so it is a big deal.
But for now, everything, all the big things are out of the way. This is just the yearly review of some of the minutiae?
That is correct.
Okay.
That is correct. Well, it's approving what was decided back in our budget hearing, basically.
Now, do you get together with the county and talk this out? How does that work when you decide how they're going to be city people? Are they going to be county people? Which one, how do you decide which one's best for everybody?
Well, there is a group that meets, there's a board that meets, and they work it out between city legal and county legal. And that's how that occurs every year.
Gotcha. Well, somebody's got to figure all this stuff out. And we're just looking at the council's role in this. It's not always...
That's right. And what we do is we approve that resolution to...
There you go.
To accept that agreement, yeah.
Now, the other big story that's been in the paper, at least for the last couple of weeks, the last 10 days or so, has been the city and the Night Moves property down there. What, if any, is the council's role in that? So if people say, hey, why aren't you asking Tim Mayer about that stuff? Well, I am right now.
Actually, the city council has very little to do with that because that is a decision.
Well, that's why I'm not wasting Tim's time with this.
Well, that's a decision made by the... between the mayor and the city's redevelopment commission. So they have been moving forward to acquire properties for the forthcoming Switchyard Park. And that the building that houses Night Moves is a property that the mayor and his office has had their sights set on for redevelopment when the park starts to come online. So that's a decision that's coming forward from the Redevelopment Commission. And basically, the Redevelopment Commission operates independently of the City Council. And and I don't believe we'll have any legislative action involved with that because that's their purview, not the City Council's.
Right, and I just wanted you to clear that up for some folks because they're wondering, well, you know, our local government's not doing anything. Well, it just depends on which part of the local government.
That's
so
correct.
There is a different layer to that I think that needs to be. It sometimes gets lost because everybody assumes you say, well, the Redevelopment Commission, everybody knows what that means. That's not always the case.
Well, another example would be the Trades District. The Redevelopment Commission is making the decisions on the Trades District because... the city council back under the Cruzan administration set up the TIF districts and the finance districts that would cover the trades district. And then we also approved the master plan for that project. So now once that is done, the council's work is finished, and then it goes on to the not governing bodies, but the oversight bodies, which in this case is the Redevelopment Commission for Switchyard Park and for the Trace District.
So this just reinforces that the council's livelihood is the bigger picture, not the, I don't want to say minutia, that's not the word I'm looking here, but not the day-to-day operations of everything.
I think that's a good way to typify it, yeah.
Okay, because I think some people get lost in that, and they say, well, you don't hear them talking about this, there's been no reporting on that, and sometimes I just shake my head or scratch my head and say, you know, I'll ask Tim, because I want people to be confident in this.
That's one of the reasons that you'll ask a question to me, and it's hard for me to answer because I'm not actually party to those discussions, unless I choose to go to the Redevelopment Commission meeting and sit there.
But I think that answer is very valuable to reinforce that you are not in charge of the day-to-day business of every single project that's going on in here. Your purview versus their purview, I think, is the most interesting part of that, because I think people think if they go to a city council meeting and raise hell, something's going to get changed, and that's not always the case.
That's true. That's true. But if somebody had a gripe about a particular issue, they would probably come to the city council.
Yeah, it's a great place to start.
And lodge their complaint, let's put it that way.
And then you can point them in the proper direction.
Well, that's true, but then council members could become tangentially involved. They could go to the Redevelopment Commission and go, do you really want to do this? You know. So.
But once it's done in your purview as the council, it moves on to the Redevelopment Commission or whatever sub-factor of that is out there, and it doesn't revert to you for some kind of magical final say, right?
That is correct.
Okay, because I think that's where some people get confused. It's like, can you believe they've done this? It's gotten to this point. Can't the council step in? It's like this. It's like the 60-minute drama on Thursday nights where you save it at the end of the day. Well, that's not always how it works, and thank you for clearing that up, because I do think for people that aren't government heads, for lack of a better term, that don't follow this all the time, they don't understand the entire process of how it works, and I appreciate you helping us out with this on Tuesday mornings.
That's true. I mean, typically, I think you could look at the council sets long-range planning or long-range policies. So another example would be in the upcoming update to our growth policies plan and to our Unified Development Ordinance, which will be occurring in 2017, hopefully finished in 2017, but I suspect it'll go out to 2018. When we go through what is referred to as our zoning maps, we would set aside certain parcels for certain types of development. So we could, for example, set aside some land down by the entrance to the new park, for example, that we want to see built as a residential commercial mix. And that is a policy that we put in place. We put it into our growth policies plan. We put it into our unified development ordinance. And then that's the end of it for the city council until a developer comes by and says they want to develop it. If they develop by the way we have designated the zoning, the city council has no say in it. If they decide to go through a different process, then that's when the city council would become involved. But once we set the policy for how the land is to be developed, as long as the developer develops it to that criteria, the council has no say in it. So that's an example of how policy is set and how it is used in day-to-day practice.
Tim Mayer is our guest this morning. He's the parliamentarian for the 2017 Bloomington City Council. The only other example I could think that is a little bit different than that is if the mayor comes to you with something, I don't want to say you're forced to act on it, but you've got to take a serious look at it, correct?
Oh, most definitely. Yeah, most definitely, yeah. And typically something like that, the mayor would be talking with council members.
Before we got to that spot.
Yes, exactly, exactly. As a matter of fact, the new leadership, President Sandberg, Vice President Granger, join and meet with the administration on a regular basis. I'll include myself there, on a regular basis to discuss forthcoming legislation, you know, things that should be up on our radar. And then that is communicated to all 9 council members. So we try to keep it organized.
And I think it is.
Yeah, yeah.
Tim, on the other issue you mentioned, and we went past it pretty fast, do you see any hiccups with the fire pay ordinance?
The contract with the firefighters?
Right.
No, I don't think so at all. I think it was widely accepted by the membership.
Didn't you do a straw vote on that?
You know, I don't know what the vote was, but I think it was fairly unanimous.
Right.
Because it's you know, they get 2% a year for every year of the contract in terms of pay, and then they have moved to what they are referring to as the quartermaster system for uniforms and firefighting equipment, which in the past was a stipend issued to each individual firefighter, and they were responsible for their equipment. Now, going to the quartermaster system, the department will provide two sets of uniforms for the firefighters. So in effect, the fire department will procure and issue the firefighting equipment to the firefighters, as opposed to the firefighters taking their stipend and purchasing the equipment on their own.
What's the difference in any of that?
Well, I think the difference is that, first of all, I think you'll have uniforms. So
I like that. That's good.
No corner cutting.
There'll be, you know, equality throughout the issuing of all the equipment that the firefighters need. And that would be like the fire protection overalls, the boots, the jackets, the helmets. All of that equipment would be standardized, because now the city is purchasing them and issuing them through the quartermaster system. So.
We're speaking with Tim Mayer, the parliamentarian of Bloomington City Council. And Tim, before we let you go, 6:30 start time. Is public comment part of the deal tomorrow?
Yes, as always, we start the meeting with reports from council members, the mayor's offices, and then we go to the public for 20 minutes of 5 minutes each. Last week, we had about 8 speakers, so obviously the number of minutes goes down. We maintain the 20, but we divide the 20 by the number of speakers. So if there's 10 speakers,
2 minutes.
Everybody gets 2 minutes. Yep, exactly.
So. Okay, now under the new start time, does that change the standardization of the rules for the number of sleeping bags needed for a meeting?
No, not necessarily. Last week's meeting went very smoothly, and we did our work thoroughly. So tomorrow night, I don't expect to have any surprises. So I suspect it'll be a very short meeting.
Well, there you go.
The anticipation, Tim, be that you'll be done an hour earlier than normal because of starting an hour earlier?
The sponsor of
is it like daylight savings, or is it like being on Central Time versus Eastern Time?
The sponsor, who was Allison Schoper of the District 3, who proposed that we meet at 6:30 rather than 7:30, which basically required a change to our city code, agreed that that did not necessarily mean our meetings would be any shorter. So I think she knows herself.
The devil is in the details.
But
there could be more details because you start earlier.
You know, I think we probably will end a little earlier. I don't necessarily think it'll add an hour to the meeting. So,
What price?
The really long meetings, those are meetings that there's a reason for that. For example,
passion.
We wrapped up 2016 with two major planned unit developments. And, you know, that brought out both neighborhoods where those developments were going to occur. And there was a lot of discussion and a lot of back and forth. So It depends on the nature of the work more than, you know, the length of the meeting, so the start time.
All right, good stuff as always, Tim. 6:30 tomorrow night, Wednesday night in Council Chambers, and we'll get caught up with you on Tuesday for a review and preview like always.
Will do. Talk to you then.
Tim Mayer, City Council Parliamentarian. Always good catching up with him on Tuesdays, and helps explain how this system works, and that's, I think, helpful as well. We always thank Tim for his time.